Good morning.
Good morning, everybody.
This is Carly.
And Johnny.
And this is the Ghost Wolves Podcast.
Episode 6.
It's actually not morning here, but it might be morning for you.
Whatever time it is, wherever you are, we're glad you're here.
Yes, thank you for joining us.
We're happy to be here with you.
We're driving through Germany. We see these giant wind turbines all around us.
They have a lot of those things.
Yeah, they
really do.
A lot of renewable energy in Germany.
Very advanced.
Yes.
They're on the right path here.
They are. We've also seen solar farms and I guess the whole EU is banning single-use plastic.
Oh, really?
Yeah. By 2020 or 2022, like pretty soon.
That's great. I've been noticing when I get a cup of coffee, they don't automatically put a lid on it. They give you the kind of the ability to
choose.
Yeah. Which is great.
Yeah, it's scary how much plastic is in this world, and it's just...
We've been trying to limit our plastic on the road lately. It's not totally possible always, but we have been trying to use reusable containers on stage for our water, because that's a really big source for us. There's always these plastic water bottles that the venues give you when you're playing a gig, and so I take like a pitcher of water on stage instead.
I have my water bottle. I just refill from the sink, and they always want to give you a bottle of water. They think it's like, no, here, let me give you this.
Like the
no,
nicer actually, thing.
I don't just want need tap. That. Yeah, I don't want that. The water from the tap here is really good.
It's not bad.
And so we've just been trying to do that and just trying to limit it, because if you let it, it'll just pile up.
Every day.
Around you.
We play every day. Crazy. And that's, you know, 4 or 5 bottles of water.
Yeah,
we drink a lot of water.
We have our own mugs for tea and coffee and stuff like that. And we have our water bottles. And, you know, when I'm trying to buy more, like, the glass juice bottles and stuff and just limit the plastic, because it's just driving me a bit crazy. And they do recycle over here, but there's controversy around recycling.
Not all of it makes it.
Yeah. And then you know how much of it, of course, ends up in the ocean and just in the water.
It's a bummer.
Everywhere. So. Yeah.
So we are driving. Speaking of climate change, can't help that. But we're driving to Prague right now. And we had two just unbelievable early week shows this Monday, and today's Wednesday, and this Monday and Tuesday this week were just like, it felt like a week, Friday, Saturday on steroids.
It was awesome. It was such a fun couple days.
And we needed it, because
we were really
tired on Monday going to Cologne, and you know, when you have a crowd with some energy, it really helps get your adrenaline up, and that's what it's really all about. So once everyone's got those chemicals flowing, then you can really get, you know,
feel it.
I think anybody who's been to a concert or has played a concert could kind of attest to that, that there's like something in the air between, you know, it's like when there's a lot of applause and people are having fun and dancing, it really, there's just this magical thing that
it is. It enlivens you, and the more energy they give you, you can give them, and you feed off of each other, and it just becomes electric.
And it kind of gives you like a, I think it's nice because it inspires you to do different things, like some, you know.
Yeah, totally.
It pushes us musically, and it's great. So Monday in Cologne, we had a really well-attended show, and Cologne showed up, man. And we played at the Sonic Ballroom, which is just one of the really neat venues that we get to play over here. And
Udo must be one of our favorite soundmen. Oh, sorry, Udo.
Udo.
He's so cool.
Udo.
Sorry,
Udo.
Udo! You're the man. We love you.
You say Udo. I say Udo. Yeah, I, you know what? I knew when Udo asked me what my direct box line was for, and I told him, he said, is it backing tracks? I said, no. And, you know, so we get that question once sometimes. We don't use, you know, goddamn backing tracks.
No, we use DIs.
That shit's fake.
And I guess some bands use DIs for backing tracks, but not
Ain't
us.
Ain't no backing tracks in Ghost Wolves.
We use it for organ and for the synthesizer.
My analog synthesizer. And when I told him It was from an analog synthesizer. His eyes lit up.
He's He perked up and he came over to the stage and wanted to see what you were playing.
Yeah, we were talking synths because he used to build them like out of kits back in the day.
He built his first one. He said it was too expensive to just buy it, so he saved his money to buy the kit and he built it himself.
So we were hitting it off, and you know,
he's just such a cool guy.
And he did a great job on the sound.
That's the thing about the Sonic Ballroom. It sounds really good.
There's a lot of wood in that room, and there's not many reflective surfaces, and it's really worn in.
They got a new PA too, and I think that made a difference. It's a German PA. Is it Keller?
HK.
HK.
Yeah.
And yeah, it sounded fantastic.
They really have that room dialed in. I mean, they do music there at least four nights a week, and it's just such a... I mean, I think the Sonic Ballroom has been there for some years now.
Yeah, I think since the 90s.
And when we say... It's not a ballroom, really. I don't know if it qualifies as a ballroom, because this ballroom is usually a big place. This is... Yeah, I know. It's so funny. It's a venue. I mean, it's a little club that probably holds 150 people tops. I mean, that would be slammed, but... They've got it going on, and the band stay upstairs above the club. There's a full apartment with two or three sleeping areas and shower and a kitchen.
Laundry. Got our laundry done.
Yeah,
that's
got some laundry done. Always good.
Big deal.
So it's just really nice hang there, and we had a great band open for us called Pie Oh My, and they're from Cologne.
And I think every band that's ever played there has put their sticker on the wall somewhere in that place. So there's just, I don't know, thousands of stickers. And it's really kind of cool to look at them and see what designs are good and get some inspiration and stuff. I love that.
Yeah. So that was really fun. And for a Monday night, we went late. And we probably didn't go to bed till 3.
Yeah, and it was funny. We sold a lot of merch. And these girls were looking at the vests with... I only had one vest left. I've been selling these denim vests with the Ghost Wolves patches sewn on that my mom and I made before we left. But we only had one left. And the girl came up to me. She's like, oh, I really wanted one like yours, you know, a white one. And I said, oh, really? Well, here, why don't I sell you the one that I've been wearing? And she was just like, what? Are you sure?
At first she just thought that was silly.
And then she was just like, so excited about it.
Yeah, that was
and
cool.
I went and got it. I mean, I was wearing it on stage. Like, it was...
It's nasty.
It's wet. Okay?
It's nasty. It was a hot... It was, that's the one thing.
It was super hot.
Sonic Ballroom, it was nice outside, but because it's just really sealed up and there's no ventilation, really. They just don't have... It was stuffy.
But they did
in a
have,
good way.
Yeah, a couple fans.
Well, the fans helped, but I mean, it was just sweaty. And I was pouring bottles of water. Or not bottles of water. Pitchers. I had a glass pitcher of water, and I was pouring that on myself.
Yeah, you poured it on me after.
Yeah, it felt. Doesn't that feel good though?
Yeah, it does.
It feels really good.
It's just so refreshing.
Well, I'm already so sweaty. It's like the more water doesn't make it. I'm already wet.
You're already soaked, but at least it's like cool.
Yeah, exactly.
It's cleansing. It's a baptismal.
Yeah, it's a little baptismal. So we had fun there, and someone got the sweaty Carly vest.
She did, and she was so excited about it, and she was showing it off to everyone. I was like, no way! How'd you get that? Not fair. And so then somebody else bought the other black vest.
But now you don't have a vest.
And, well, I have one left. And
oh.
It's my personal one.
Oh, okay. So you were wearing one.
I was wearing one because, well, we hadn't done laundry, so... You know, and I like to have the vest, so I took one off the rack.
You had worn it for a little while. Yeah.
I had worn it since the beginning of the tour, but I had washed it.
Ah.
But it was dirty again.
Yeah.
And I decided
I'd
wear it.
That's because you were white.
Yeah, and I sweat a lot. I mean, it's just a stinky gig.
Stinky gig, guys.
So, I'm excited because now I'm going to make more vests, and people are wearing them, and that's really cool. We love it when people wear the Ghost Wolves merchandise. It's really cool for us.
Makes us happy.
Yeah. So that was fun.
Yeah. And then we were supposed to have Tuesday night off, but our friends from the area put together a show in a town called Krefeld, which is across the River Rhine in Krefeld. And
From Dusseldorf.
Yeah. And it's funny because I was talking to them and they're saying that when you go across the river, people don't cross the river in that area. There's like the left of the Rhine and the right of the Rhine, and it's even
you just stay in your.
I mean, it's 30 kilometers apart, but they feel like they're geographically there's a wall between them. They don't associate with each other.
That's interesting.
And it's different.
It's different culturally as well.
It did feel different though, didn't it?
They even have their own dialects.
Yeah, that was fascinating.
There's so many different dialects in Germany, and one will not recognize the others. The words are completely different, so it's very localized. And then everyone can speak, I guess, the proper German to each other. But then when they're in their villages, they speak their dialect, nobody else can understand.
Well, I didn't know this, but Germany wasn't actually a unified country until the late 1800s. So actually, it was states up until that point. And I never knew that. I thought Germany was this old country, but really it was a bunch of, I guess, I don't know what they were classified as, but states, and then it became unified.
Yeah, so. I wonder how that came about.
Yeah, it'd be a good, cool. Someone research that and let us know. So, Krefeld is a former textile center that is really, doesn't have much manufacturing going on anymore, but for a long time, it was actually, in that same time period, the late 1800s, was the richest town in Germany. So there's just gorgeous boulevards with, I mean, you can tell there was money there, and there still is to relative extent.
States just
beautiful.
Decked out these windows and this trim, and it's all cement and
big parks and
the beautiful roof, the tiled roof.
You could tell that it's just there was an opulent period in that that town.
Definitely the nice parks.
Yeah, beautiful. And
a lot of bike riders.
Yeah.
It's flat, so there's just nice bike paths everywhere. Everyone's on their bike.
And they actually also had a lot of different types of religion, like from Christianity in that area. Our friend who hosted us was telling, Richard was telling us all about that, that they have Mennonites and Catholics and Protestants, all these different religious types have settled there, or a long time ago settled there, and they were all kind of accepted. It says kind of like a little bit of a hippie vibe there. Very
and
accepting.
The community that came to the show, they've all grown up together. They've known each other for 40 years. They've been going to shows together since they were kids. And you know, it's different generations. I mean, it was a good mix of people.
There were some kids there.
But
yeah.
It's a really strong community there. And they were able to get, I think it was like over 60 people out in a matter of 2 days.
We booked the show in on Saturday or Sunday.
Yeah, Sunday it was confirmed.
They booked the show, and by Tuesday we had 60 tickets at the door. Like, that's pretty nuts, honestly.
It really is. And the crowd was just
and the town we never played in. But in the area we played in. Like, to be fair, we did, some people came from Dusseldorf. We've been to shows there and Essen. And we've had, you know, we play the general vicinity. But that, to me, that was really cool. And the venue was great.
Yeah, and they're all saying, we come back, next time we'll sell it out. I think it's 150 people or something.
I think it's doable there.
Numerous people told us that, so we're definitely going to go back there.
And they were a fun audience. They were really getting down.
Yeah, it was fun because the sound was really good.
It was good.
And then there was a staircase across from the stage that went up to like a perch. And there were some people sitting on the staircase. Most people were dancing around and stuff. But towards the end of the set, I had my wireless on the guitar, and I went all the way up to the top of the staircase.
That was awesome.
It was so much fun.
It was very theatrical.
Yeah, it was the first time I was able to do something like that.
My arm felt like it was going to fall off, though, at the end.
Yeah.
That's how wiped out I am right now. Just really, really tired.
It was hard. But the crowd, you know, they fueled us.
Yeah, yet again, a little bit of that transfer, that some kind of adrenaline in the air, you know?
Yeah, definitely.
And definitely some sweat and beer in the air, too.
Yeah,
I sprayed some beer.
And then it was on his Tom, and every time he hit it, the beer would splash up. And
that was cool.
Yeah, it was funny.
It's that Blue Man Group effect.
Yeah, they do that.
Except with beer. I do it with beer.
Oh.
It's a little stickier.
Yeah.
Yeah. They use colored water or paint or something. My mom always wanted me to be a blue man.
Yes, but you never did get a chance to audition, did you?
Yeah, I don't know.
Well, that would just be a different path.
More of a green man. So,
Krefeld, we love you. Thank you for having us and putting together the show at the last minute. Culture Camp is the venue, and
great venue.
It's just really, really cool place.
Culture Camp, or no, Culture Rampa.
Oh, sorry, Culture Rampa.
Rampa.
And J.D. Wilkes just had played there a couple weeks ago.
Yep, they got a lot of American music coming through there, here and there. Charlie Crockett is a country singer. And
so that was a good find. We love it
when we find
new places to go that are so receptive to what we're doing. And we sold a ton of merch, and everybody was really happy. Yeah. Really, really, really happy.
Yeah, we had delicious vegan...
Overly happy.
Yeah.
It was great.
Yeah, we had delicious vegan food, courtesy of Richard's...
Partner. Yeah.
Steph. She made, like, a... I think it was kind of a goulash.
Yeah.
It was almost like a goulash.
Potatoes and
it was
peppers.
Potatoes, peppers, onion.
Red and yellow and green bell peppers, onions, mushrooms.
Tomatoes.
And it was sort of
in a red sauce.
Yeah. Flavored really well.
Oh, it's some olives. That was interesting. The black olives. That was kind of like an unexpected twist.
Yeah.
It
was nice to sit down with them for dinner.
Ooh, and that, she made that, was it pumpkin seed and
zucchini
dip that we were putting on their brown bread, like the German flat dense
paste.
Yeah, bread, and just some of that spread on top.
We had some of that for breakfast.
Some of the local beer is called
Alt.
Yeah. And to me, it tastes like a way better balanced Scheinerbach. If anyone's ever had Scheinerbach, it's like the dark Texas beer it's not really a Bock, because a Bock is actually much stronger than Scheinerbach is like a weak Bock. But the Alt beers from this area in Krefeld, and it was delicious. And they said that it's actually the oldest, longest running brewery in, definitely in Germany. I can't remember if they said Europe, but
is
in
it like
Germany.
A monastery or like a
I don't think so. Not beer? This one. They're, that's in Belgium. That's where all the Trappist monks are so famous for their beer.
It's so good.
Yeah, and that's such a funny thing, because it's like these monks, they don't have women. You know, they don't have wives or anything. And so they just make beer and they get wasted.
And the beer is really good.
And it's, but their beer is strong. Like that Belgian Trappist ale stuff, I mean.
Yeah, when we were at Muddy Roots, we were drinking the Triple Jack. The bourbon barrel aged beer, and I mean, yeah, that is strong beer.
I don't think that was Trappist,
but it's fresh.
But yeah, it was fresh. They love their beer.
But for breakfast this morning, we tried another German thing that we've never had before. Do you remember what it was called?
Oh yeah, Gold.
Yeah, Goldsaft.
Goldsaft.
Yeah, and it's in a little squeeze jar or like
squeeze bottle,
and you can put it on your toast, and it's real. It's almost like the consistency of molasses.
It really does look like molasses.
But it's really sweet.
Very, very sweet.
He said that that's where they get their sugar from. What he was describing as brown carrots.
Yeah,
but I'm not sure.
He said large brown carrots. So
maybe
like
some kind of
root vegetable.
Yeah,
but they process down into this syrup.
Yeah,
basically.
and that's where they kind of get their sugar.
It was dark.
This product.
It did. It had a very similar flavor to molasses, to me at least.
Yeah, kind of a honey molasses, sweet, thick, you know, but really good. And I'm sure it has vitamins in it. You know, it's like a breakfast food, like a fortifying.
Yeah. In the wintertime, you get a big old slab of that on your toast and you're good to go.
Yeah.
Some butter. But then we also yesterday we went for lunch in Cologne before we went to Krefeld, and we found a vegan Syrian falafel kind of place. Like falafel with a Syrian twist, which was really interesting.
The hummus, the baba ganoush, I think was my favorite thing.
That was delicious. And the hummus was great.
The hummus was great, but the baba ganoush, they got that. They nailed it right on the head.
Well, it was funny, too, because we found the place, and it was in this neighborhood with all these other restaurants. And so we walked in, and we were looking at the menu, and the guy was waiting at the counter. And we kind of thought, you know, we've had a lot of falafel on this trip, because that's kind of a standby for vegan eating if you need it in Europe. You can get falafel a lot of places. So we thought, well, there's this other vegan place down the street, and it's kind of like a Asian spot, so let's go check that out. So we walked over. We said, maybe we'll come back. We walked down there. sat down at the Asian place, and nobody came out to help us for like 5-10 minutes.
And just, we did have a time frame.
Yeah, we had a little bit of time. We had to get the sound check. Yeah. So, okay, you know, it's Europe. That's kind of common here. But then they came out, and the lady handed us this menu, and it was like so disorganized.
And this very dirty, kind of old menu.
Like this old paper.
Like several pages, like 8 pages loose. Long.
Some of the paper was loose. Some of it was bound. Some of it was loose. It was all stuffed together.
It was very confusing.
And I looked at it, and I was just like,
how are you supposed to choose?
I don't even
there
know what's
no prices.
Yeah.
Like, it wasn't clear.
It was very strange, and so we were just put off by that, honestly. It was just, you know what? And it was a little expensive when I did find it. It was like 12 or 14 a plate. And
that's not for the lunch, kind of money we want to spend on lunch.
We're having like, lunch.
We're just trying to get something to eat
lunch
before we go to the next gig.
So okay. we said, forget this.
Let's go back to the other place.
And the guy was so happy to see us when we got it. He was a younger guy, and he was, you know, I think he was, I mean, they said it was a Syrian place. He seemed like he was Syrian. I didn't ask him, but
yeah, so he handed us a sample of falafel with hummus.
The first thing he did was pull two falafels and dip it in hummus and hand it in to us. We were just standing there looking
like
at the menu.
A welcome back.
And it was really good.
But what was cool is, you know, with that food, you do have the fried, and we try not to eat too much fried food. It's
really easy to eat fried food on the road.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of
everywhere.
Yeah, so, but what was nice about it was they had a bunch of fresh veggies. You know, it's like the teller plate, and they have carrots, radishes, pickles, lettuce, corn, tomatoes, cucumbers. I mean, a big, huge plate.
Well, you can get, like, that's pretty common at
with
this.
With your falafel.
Well, it's common at the falafel places. You can get the falafel wrap in Europe, or you can get the, and you know, usually they'll have the meat donor, which is gross, but they had the falafel, and then you can get, or you can get it as a plate, like Carly's saying, with all the French fries, but they'll put French fries too.
And so, with the falafel though, it's, what it is chickpea flour, deep fried, and it's flavored different ways, you know, with different herbs and stuff, and it was interesting because, I mean, we eat it all the time, but when we went, we took our friend in France, in Paris, for falafel after we did the video shoot, and he was like, oh, I've never had this before.
Yeah.
So it was, like, completely foreign to him.
And it's cool, too, because it is always a little different from place to place.
Yeah, but this place was delicious.
Theirs is really light, like, they'd used some kind of lighter flour.
Yeah, it wasn't real heavy.
And they were donut-shaped. They had a hole in the middle. I've never seen that before.
Yeah, that's true.
So, the plate was really nice because it came also, they do, I guess there's a meat equivalent called kofta. It's like a common thing in Middle East. I don't know, I think different countries have it, but I've seen it a lot. But they were doing a vegan version, and it's sort of like these little, almost like a sausage, I don't know. But it's all like ground up, different ingredients, and I think theirs had dates and
nuts. Like 3 or 4 different kinds of nuts, and like mint or something
some
in there.
Some kind of mint, herbs, and it kind of rolled into a little, and it's a little soft to the bite. That's kind of the mouthfeel, and it was good. It wasn't what I was expecting, though.
It was interesting.
It was a little sweeter than I thought, and it kind of more on the date flavor was strong.
But we got a whole side, like a small plate, you know, a big mound of spicy sauce.
Oh, yeah, we did.
We saw that.
We said, hey, look at that.
We need some of that.
Because you know what, guys? Europe does not do spicy. They don't do spicy food, and not anywhere.
And we do.
And we do. I mean, come on.
I mean, I have a bottle of habanero sauce right here in the door. I carry it in my backpack.
And that stuff. We bought that over here. It's not that hot.
It's not even that hot.
So
we need our yellow bird.
Whenever we see, we love yellow bird.
Yellow bird, we highly recommend it.
We're not sponsored by them, but we should be. They should send us a case for the tours, especially in Europe, because it's hard to find. So when you see some red pepper looking stuff, man, we get it.
Yeah.
We're like,
can we have?
I'll take a plate of it.
Yeah.
And they gave us a plate.
Yeah, like a small plate, but it was a big mound.
And then we didn't finish it because it was hot. It was hot. I was surprised. Like I thought, all of that looks like baby food, and then. Boom.
And then we got a bowl of the, what, how did it fall?
I never got the right pronunciation. Foul. It's spelled F-O-U-L. So I'm just going to say foul, because that would be the pronunciation I would say in English. So I'm not really sure how they say it, but it's large beans, like gigante beans, and we had it in mixed with tahini and olive oil and mint
and tomatoes.
Like a cold stew of beans, like, but big beans.
Delicious.
Really nice, dark, extra large beans, and it was really hearty.
And the pita bread was super
so full.
Fresh, and yeah, I mean, it was a great meal.
It didn't look like that much food, actually. It was just like a big plate of veggies and hummus and a medium bowl of beans and the pepper
and
some bread, and man, I could barely finish.
We did finish it.
The
hot pepper sauce.
I wanted to get some dessert because they had some really nice looking desserts. I couldn't do it.
Yeah, like baklava.
Yeah, they're the baklava. I love.
It's usually not vegan.
That region of the world cooking. I mean, that's some delicious stuff. They had the perfect balance of fried and fresh and salty and sweet and spice.
Yeah, and we don't have a very good restaurant like that in Austin.
Oh, heck no.
I mean, not an authentic one.
No way.
It serves that style. And
there was that place up on Guadalupe that we went sometimes. That was pretty good.
Tom's.
I don't know if they're still there anymore.
They closed. Or at least they moved. I don't know if they closed. But
They were good. They were good.
And then we go to that, what's that place called? The one up in near Mueller.
Oh, yeah, but that's Greek.
Yeah, it's Greek.
It's similar, though. It's similar.
You can get falafel, you can get hummus, you know, but it's just,
they falafel there. Yeah, their falafel's pretty good.
It's not as,
And they do the doner kebab.
Yeah, they don't have as many options.
Tino's.
Yeah, Tino's, that's what it is.
So.
Well, anyways,
we're probably, I'm pretty hungry right now.
I know, you're making me hungry.
I think it's time for a van sandwich.
We do a lot of van sandwiches.
Vanwich.
Yeah, we call them vanwiches. I'm the chef.
Carly's the premier Michelin-starred van chef of the world.
Oh, thank you.
Yes,
you so
if
much.
I do say so.
I have all the supplies here. I have a tray and my knife and the picnic basket and the cold bag. And I can prepare it while we're moving. And sometimes we have to do that. But oftentimes we get to pull over and take a little picnic, you know, on the side of the road, so.
Yeah. So anyways, we're running way over time, I think, here.
Oh.
We've been talking for a half hour.
Wow, well.
If you're still with us, good for you.
Thanks for sticking with us. We have a 8-hour
drive.
We could
sit here and talk for 6 hours.
We're going to Prague.
We're going to Prague, y'all.
Prague was the show that was replaced by the Vienna one.
It replaced Vienna.
Okay, other way around.
Prague wasn't replaced by Vienna.
No.
Vienna was replaced by Prague.
Vienna. That's what I thought. That's what I said.
No.
Well, okay. I stand corrected.
You are correct. Indeed. Thanks, guys.
Yeah, so we'll
keep blogging for you. This is just like basically blogging but talking.
We'll keep you updated.
Yeah.
Yeah. And write in with questions, really.
Yeah.
I think, is there a way to comment on the actual?
You know, I'll put the email in the description of each episode. I think I need to do that.
We have so many more things to tell you. So
we'll keep it coming.
This is just the beginning. All right. We love you guys. Rock on, baby things.
Have a great day, morning, evening, wherever you are.
Have a great meal. Your next meal, yes. Guten Appetit, as they say here in Germany.
And put some hot sauce on it.
Au revoir.
Au revoir.